Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. This is a lovely day that the Lord our God has given us. Another day of grace to preach His word in. You know, when the rapture come, you know, our work will be over with. The night come when no man can work. But if we leave a legacy, if we leave books and CDs and a lifestyle of godly living, ministry carries on. I thank God for that, and I'm counting on it, because we all going to have people here that we love and care about, because we love everybody and we care about everybody. And I take it seriously. Ministry is very serious to me. It's not a platform to show off your knowledge. It's not that. This is life. I do this for living reasons, not to get personal gain, because nobody pays me for this. And I do it because I love God and He gave me this assignment. But I do want something. I'm after people. The Lord gave me a vision, said, "Let not my people lack knowledge." And since that day, it's been my passion to make sure that I get the word across to people every which way I can, you know, every which way I can. And so when you connect people to Jesus, Jesus connects them to God. They live forever. They don't get to fall in that pit like I saw people doing all around the world. And if they live for God, then they bring other people to heaven with them. See, a message is not just what you say, it's what you live. People, well, they are godly pastors and people with ears to hear that hear the word. They live a godly life, and they set a higher stage of example wherever they go. And Satan hates it. Now, if Satan hates it, I love it, because he hates God and I love God. But that's not why I love God. That's just a bonus. I love God, and it gets on Satan's nerve. That's my bonus. I love God. Jesus gave me authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the earth. I rejoice. I believe in doing it according to Jesus' protocol. I rejoice because my name is written in heaven because of the blood of the Lamb, not because of what I did. But it's a bonus to me that I get to walk in His authority and I have power over Satan. I love it. That's a bonus. I don't mind fighting him back. I don't like him. I don't like his ways. I don't like his wisdom. I don't like his immorality. I don't like what he does to humanity. I don't like his lust. I don't like the way that he tempts men to view women as objects. I don't like the way that he tempts women to view men as objects, because we're not, we're people. And we're God's people, and that needs to be realized first. And when you share the love of God, when you receive His love, a lot of things fall in order. And when your life is working, sometimes you have to stop and examine why, how it works together. See, it's possible for a person to have the right motives and just do what God say do, and things work. And they just keep doing it, and they keep working. And they keep doing it, and they keep working. They ask Rob Parsley, "How did you grow such a successful ministry in the middle of a cornfield?" He said, "I don't know. You chase God and it happens." All right. Well, that's I had been telling a friend, Pastor Jackson, that for years. We went up there because Rob Parsley is his pastor, and we went up there before a few times, and we drove up there. And all these pastors asking him, wanting to know, he had to address it then, while, you know, he had all the guest pastors there. And they fly in. They spend all kind of money flying 2,000 miles away just to come and ask him that question. Well, he told the truth. You chase God and it happens. But, and now the Lord took me aside when he taught me about, excuse me, he took me aside and trained me about following God. And for years he did this. See, he did that a whole decade from 1990 to up in the 2000s. Well, I started going to Pastor Jackson's church in 2001. It was a Sunday after 9/11 when I went. So the Lord had taught me something about following God for years. And I understood the mechanics of following God, the details. And it involves sowing and reaping. It involves spiritual wealth, obedience. That's where obedience, and it involves obedience, faith obedience. Faith obedience causes faithful obedience, which enables God to operate in your life. See, whenever you do something that he tell you to do and you mix it with faith and you do exactly that, you're taking a step that God can build on. If God give you something to do or you do something else, he can't build on what he can't do what he would have done. He has to do something else. If you give him a little when you should have given everything, he can only do a little. Jesus said, "You give, they that give sparingly, they sow sparingly, reap sparingly. And they that sow much, reap much." Same principle. Following God, you gave God thousands when you normally give him tens, a $10 bill. You know, you've given him thousands versus 10. So, when you do what God tells you to do, it puts things in motion that should be in motion. And people, you have to match obedience to time, because when God gives you something to say and you say it, people are there in that audience that they've been primed to hear what you have to say. If you say something else, you kill the moment. You didn't give God what he needed in that moment. And you repent and come back the next week and teach what he said do. Well, now some of the people are gone, and whatever he was going to do can't happen through you. And you can't see the loss from your vantage point. You can't see the loss. And there's no effect to you personally, except you, the spiritual wealth that would have been on your life is not there. So whenever you match time with obedience, you can build a church in the middle of a cornfield that God can use around the world. You chase God, you won't make those secret failures. And I call them secret failures because nobody saw you sin. Nobody knew what God told you. You know that you didn't obey God fully, or you did something you thought was permissive, or you didn't obey him somewhere that you needed to. Well, now, guess what? The track of your ministry is going to be based on what you do, that you, the $10 you keep giving God, that's going to be the track of your ministry. But when you do precisely what God say, you've sown much, and much is going to happen from all kind of avenues. And if you try to figure it out, you end up in doubt. That's how it works, because you can't see what God is doing. And don't worry about how God, if you have spiritual wealth on your life, God will, he can alert you to all kind of ways of finances. I've seen this so many times and ways. I used to fail financially because I tried to figure out how God was going to do it. And one day, the Lord said, "Don't worry about money in my presence." So, I quit. I quit. I quit. I said, "I don't care how you do it." Then things started working. I stopped killing my dreams. I stopped trying to figure it out. When God gives you something to do, spiritual, your faith obedience causes spiritual wealth on your life every time you obey. That's how it works. But the enemy comes to kill, steal, destroy. Not just kill the flesh, kill your dreams, your productivity, what God has given you, what God will do, your vision. And then when other people have a vision, and if you have an opportunity to help them. See, wherever God has a need, that's a good time to sow, because you're going to have them. And when people sow into what you're doing, it makes it all work better. Now you're giving thousands and millions instead of fives and tens. You see the difference? Now, when you're chasing God, you don't care what he said, do you? You thank God that he gave you something to do and be faithful with. And it's your habit to have faith obedience. And you become faithful in obedience. And then you match time, and then you have spiritual wealth on your life of all sorts. Not only financial and long life and more to work with, but safety as well. Because between the years of, 89 all the way up to 96, I lived in a neighborhood, and I always had to intercede and stop gunfights. I listened to The Authority of the Believer by Kenneth Hagin, and I rebuked those gunfights and stopped them, and it worked. Always, and 100% success. Nobody died in those years. And then God gave me an assignment, and they stopped having gunfights. Even after I moved and came back, I lived there 3 more years, and from 2000 to 2003, there were no gunfights then. And eventually, the drug house burned down, and it's a quiet neighborhood now. Now, listen. The thing of it is, I didn't want the drug house. That's something that they did. I don't know how that happened. I was gone when that happened. But anyway, the point is this. In 2000, the Lord told me, I've given you your life. No man can kill you. He told me that. Some people are going to be martyrs. It wouldn't bother me. I mean, I'm in it forever. I don't care what happened to this body. I'm in it forever. I'm not denying Jesus. But he told me, I've given you your life. And I look back on it. All those times I was interceding. Spiritual wealth gets on your life when you have faith obedience. Now, let's move on to what God wanted to talk about in the first place. Today, he gave me again Judges chapter 6. That's a good foundation. The first 12 minutes here, that's a good foundation to build this on. Now watch what happens here. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And you know, why would they do evil in the first place? That's a good question. But watch what happened. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number. Remember that word, without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. Satan come to kill, steal, destroy. They came to destroy the covenant people of God. And they were sent by Satan. And Israel did evil because they were tempted by Satan. And Israel was greatly impoverished. They were stolen from because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Only thing they didn't succeed in doing was killing them. But this is what stopped all the train wreck. They cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptian and out of the hand of all that oppress you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. and his son Gideon thresh wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianite. See, I'm going to stop at 12, I think. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, said to him, "Thou Lord, the Lord is with thee. Thou art a mighty man of valor." And you know the story. But the focus is not, you know, Gideon won a great victory for Israel by his following God. He matched time. He had faith, obedience. But actually, that's not what I want to talk about today, though I talked about it. This focus is on what Jesus said when he was about to give his life for us. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Now, he's about to enter the hour of temptation. He's about to lay his life down for us. That he's about to be captured. All in the plan of God. Verse 40. And he cometh to his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith to Peter, "What? Could ye not watch with me for 1 hour? Then he said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, if we watch and pray, we'll stop having so many losses. A lot is lost when we fail to watch and pray. People don't get in sin and do evil. The Israelites did evil in the sight of God. That won't happen if you watch and pray so you enter not into temptation. You can't take the love of God for granted. You have to live by it as a way of life. There's no reason for sin ever in your life. After you've been born again and before you've been born, there's no if you're born in sin, it's stuck to you. But after salvation, there's no reason to track back into it. If you watch and pray, you'll see the endless supply of enemies out there that's trying to get you back into the world. And remember, Satan goes where you go. You can put your children in a Christian school. You can go to church every time the doors are open. You can hear the word all day and night. You can think about it, meditating on it. But if you don't watch and pray, Satan's going to walk right in there and find a way to start tearing down what you're building up. You have to watch and pray. Just because you love God doesn't mean everybody loves God. Just because you love your children and you raise them to love God, that doesn't mean that they are not being tempted by others. Children can learn how to act. Children are good at acting. All children are not sincere with their parents. And now, there's three things that I've noticed about people. And they'll fight you over. When it comes to life choices, when it comes to God, your best friends will get very serious with you when you talk about God, either for or against. Relationships can be divided over these three things. One is God. And I've seen it with my own eyes, with money. And then, for men, women. And for women, men. I've seen so many different ways too. It's weird, but you can be best friends, you can be sisters and brothers, got along, even twins, but one loves God and one's not sure yet. That's going to be a division over God. Or if two guys like the same girl, there's going to be a fight or a rift. And when it comes to money, how people fall out over money. But the point is, when the Lord is when you teach people the ways of God, they have to make it their own, or they cannot worship God in spirit and in truth. People will respect you and act right. They'll act the part. I've seen this so many different ways. And being a child myself, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I saw my parents love God, and I wanted that life, but I was curious about the world. And see, you can't follow God if you're curious about the world. Now, my parents prayed for me, and a lot of things that I would have done didn't work out until I got older. Then I tasted the world, and I got bit by it. And I did things I wish I didn't do while I was curious. But as people of God, we have to watch and pray. If you're watching and praying over your children, don't just think they're going to love God because you do. That's the first thought. See, to the pure, all things are pure. We covered that in Titus chapter 1. But to those that are defiled, nothing's pure. So a man that hadn't believed on Jesus yet, he's still defiled. He think he's slick. And we fall into traps. And, you know, my parents prayed for me, and church people prayed for me. And I lived while I was on the other side. I survived it because people were praying for me, not because I'm such a wonderful person. But once I got saved, I saw life for what it was. I saw what I didn't see. I saw life as I saw the danger I was in, because now I have the peace of God after I got saved. And I said, I could have went straight to hell. And I began to realize how I made it. Because my parents were praying for me. And I took salvation very serious from that moment on. And I still do. So I understand that when people think they know something, or they think they're slick, remember, to the defiled, nothing's pure yet. But when you live the life of God, you prove them wrong. To them, and they have a reference that life is. I can get on, I can follow God, or I can stay like this in wonder. See, the world is like Wonderland. You don't really know what's up and down. But when you see the light, it start exposing to people in intricate ways what's right and wrong. It's not that people are evil, it's that they're trapped. Not only they're trapped in dead religions. You know, I love Muslims, but Islam is demonic. I love all the people of Asia. But Buddhism is demonic. It's a false representation of God that holds people back against Christ. It's not, don't get me wrong, Buddha was a man, and God loved him when he was as in his state. He loved him as a man. But see, the problem was he didn't make Jesus his Lord, and people worshiped him in place of Jesus. That's what's bad about it. God loves me. If people look to me and not Jesus, that's wrong too. So it's not like I got a personal beef with him or anybody else. But see, if you're defiled and you lie, then it's going to cause people to fall off the cliff. It's just that, that's how it is. So now it's very unpopular to go tell somebody, hey, your religion is dead. That'll really make friends and influence people, won't it? But it's true. You can't go to heaven without Jesus. And when you get to know Jesus, you see the world for what it is. The things that I did that I was curious about, it didn't help me out. And I realized that. I felt bad. Every time I did wrong, I felt bad about it. The next day, I felt bad about it. But see, in the Lord, when you do things His way, you feel good about it. And it edifies your life. It's not evil. So all Jesus took the evil out of our life. We have to decide to continue in the things of God and serve God with faith obedience, which takes us to greater glories. You think that's easy? That's easy to explain, but try to get people to do it. It's like this. You tell somebody you believe on Jesus, you can live forever. Okay, they can't, from their vantage point, they can't see forever. But a multi-billionaire came and said, I'll give anybody $10 million if they can help me live 15 more years. And all the doctors would get busy checking them out, seeing what they could do. And if they come up with a concoction that'll do it, they will sell it and make millions of dollars on it. So people can live 15 more years. They can see. They don't want their time to run out. They want to live, they're 89 years old, and they want to live 15 more good years without any health problems. And it unclogs you. You know, this fake concoction I'm talking about, it also takes away Alzheimer's. So you can live 15 good, healthy years again. People would pay millions of dollars. They'll pay thousands of dollars for that concoction. But see, eternity, they can't, the enemy is whispering there, yeah, that's just a fantasy. They're just trying to get your tithe money or something. You know how the devil is. This is life. And it's true. When I had the peace of God, I knew it. So we have the focus of this broadcast is watch and pray. Don't let things fall down the sewer. Watch and pray. Protect your people. When God give me an assignment, I talked about faith obedience. The first thing I do is bless it. I pray God's blessing on it. Just like the little boy that gave Jesus his lunch. Jesus blessed it and gave it back to him. He had more than enough when he got his portion back. And everybody else and their families ate his lunch and was full. And then they took up, 12 baskets after that, more or less? Brother Harden, now you need to listen to this broadcast on the Fresh Start. All right, it was Fresh Start, the Fresh Start Breakfast Club. I think it was 2016. It was 4/12/2016, I believe it was. But if you don't find it there, I put it on the first or second. It was the first or second audio page. At the top, it says classic. Look for classic and click on it. Brother Harden taught this awesome sermon about how you take everything you got and give it to Jesus and he'll bless it and give it back to you. I can't preach the whole thing. You're just going to have to click on classic and listen to it yourself. When he preached that sermon, I saw what to do with this broadcast. The Lord was dealing with me about it, heart to heart. All at once, I knew what to do. And the Lord gave me more from there. When God give me something to do, the first thing I do is bless it and give it back to him. And I give it to him and I pray his blessings on it. And he gives it back to me. And I protect it. I put a fence around it. I say, Satan, you cannot hinder this work in Jesus' name. You cannot hinder the people that will receive from this work in Jesus' name. See, as a man of God, that's what you do. Every message you have, rebuke. The Lord taught me a long time ago, when you minister, rebuke the spirit of blindness so people can see. And you do this as a way of life. you get rid of his screen to keep people dull. See, if God give you a work and people hear you, they're going to do what you do. And if you watch and pray, they will watch and pray. They'll be groomed to watch and pray. They were around Jesus. They saw how Jesus did things, and they did what Jesus did. And it became a way of life. Now, Paul was trained by the Holy Spirit, not Jesus. But he did it like we do it. He had to learn what they did, he read about what Jesus did, and he came up to where the apostles were. We have to do the same thing. And we're guided by the Holy Spirit. But you have to watch and pray. You have to watch and pray over your children and teach them what God give them and guide them as a parent. It's a never-ending job, even though they're grown. You watch and pray over your church. You don't have to be the pastor to watch and pray for your church family. You just got to do it. See, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord in Judges chapter 6. There's an endless supply of enemies of every sort, every age out there to kill, steal, and destroy from you. Don't be afraid of them. They're just there. You just got to watch and pray over everything. You can't just receive God's work and say, okay, I'm going to do it without protecting it. You have to protect it. That's why so much goes undone. And people end up surrounded by Midianite demons. Failure is not an accident. It's an attack. Failure is not an accident. It's an attack. Treat it as an attack. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue the mighty to move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory.